This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to graftonloadingdock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, welcome to the Annie Fry Show on a Monday afternoon. Actually, this is not Annie. If you're confused, you need to check your hearing. This is Brad Young sitting in today. Annie's out, should be back tomorrow, and I am glad you're with us. I think we're, and Trish is actually flying the plane here today.
I am. I'm driving.
You're,
thanks for having
me. You're driving
me.
Everything. I'm just the guy that makes the announcements. You know, yep. The drinks are served. please make sure to tip the flight attendants. I mean, that's really my job. You're flying the plane.
I'm flying, but you've got all the information.
Okay.
So we're a good team.
That's a good team. And I think we're also streaming at now right now.
We are streaming, yes, on Facebook, The Annie Fry Show, on Twitter at Annie Fry Show, and then on something called Twitch that I'm not familiar with, but we'll have some viewers because Annie's really good at this stuff and I'm not. So,
well, I'm glad you're handling it. Thank you very much.
Of course.
We've got a lot of stuff to break down today, but we also have is Eben Brown standing by?
It looks like he's calling in right now, so if
okay.
You want to set it up, and then we'll go to him in just a moment here.
We obviously all awoke this morning to the news about what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and I've got some analysis of it that I'll be breaking down as this hour unfolds, because the implications of what happened there, I believe yesterday, are greater than simply the tragedy. I mean, at this point, the last time I checked, we had at least 5 individuals killed, 40 individuals injured, perhaps more, and it's obviously it's a tragedy. But what the implications are goes beyond simply the tragedy itself, because there are political implications, there are legal implications, there are implications involving George Soros that I will get into today. But let's actually get an update on what's happening on the ground. Eben Brown from Fox News Radio joins us this morning with all of the latest updates. Eben, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being with us. So what are the latest developments? We know about the general facts of the incident, but what are the latest facts in terms of this morning's occurrence?
Well, the latest facts really are that someone who we have now identified as his name is Darryl Brooks, Darryl E. Brooks, 39 years old, drove a car at a high rate of speed through the crowd at this parade in Waukesha, injuring a significant number of people, more than 40, killing at least 5. There are 18 children who are at Children's Wisconsin Hospital in Milwaukee, which is nearby. They have varying levels of injuries, some very serious. and many of them have needed surgeries either yesterday or today. We are expecting to hear from police a little later this afternoon, and I suspect that they will announce charges against this man, Daryl Brooks. But as of now, that's where we are. And, you know, that kind of simplifies things, but this has completely rocked the town of Waukesha. It's an incredibly scary thing. It could be any town USA. How many Yes. of these towns have a parade for a holiday, whether it's July 4th or the Christmas time or whatever the case may be, where people just go and it's their kid in the marching band from the high school or whatever the case is. Maybe it's their senior citizen relative marching along for whatever, all these groups that will march in the local parades. It's incredibly scary. It's frightening. And this is something that was just unimaginable for so many people. Perhaps it was imaginable for some, but for so many, it was unimaginable.
Exactly. We're talking to Eben Brown with Fox News Radio. And what do we know about the apparent alleged suspect, Daryl Brooks? What do we know about his background?
We know that he has an extensive criminal history and that he was just recently bailed out of prison or jail a few days before this. And now you can find this stuff online if you want, but you know, not everything we have confirmed yet, but there's a lot of complaints towards the district attorney in Milwaukee who had previously been in support of reduced bail and easier bail and things like that. And this is someone who had a long rap sheet of domestic violence and other violent crimes for which he's been convicted. And why exactly he did this yesterday, I couldn't tell you. Maybe police will offer some more theories on it later. But if you look at the videos, and there are so many videos, we have so many cameras in every community now, right? Whether they're fixed cameras from security systems or whatnot, or people out of the parade with their phones out trying to record their kid or their grandparent marching in the parade. There are so many recordings of what happened. He's driving very quickly. There's no attempt to slow down. He hits into a group of people and keeps going, hits into another group of people, keeps going. We've had other incidences like this where a car hits a group of people, and often it's an accident, and the person gets out of the car, goes, "Oh my gosh, what happened? What did I do? What, you know, get help, let me help." That didn't happen here.
Not at all.
I'm here in South Florida. We had an incident this year at a gay pride parade where someone hit the crowd, and it was a horrible thing. The blame started flying right away, even from elected officials blaming Trump voters. As it turned out, it was a elderly man who happened to be gay, who was a volunteer in the parade to drive one of the parade vehicles, and something happened, lost control of the car, and it lurched forward. It was an accident, a horrible thing, and I'm sure he's being held accountable, but it was an accident.
Correct.
This does not appear to be the same thing.
No.
Not from how it looks on the video.
No, we're talking to Eben Brown with Fox News Radio. One thing that I think is interesting and wasn't lost on me this morning when I heard this story, Eben, and that is that today is the anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And one may say, what do those two incidents have in common? But my mind went to the Zapruder film and how the Zapruder film was really the only evidence. It was grainy. It was from a distance. It has been analyzed.
And a short runtime.
And it's been analyzed more than any video clip in history. And yet, whether we're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse or whether we're looking at this incident from Waukesha, video is now ubiquitous.
It is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. There's people who and look, we have a full-on TV studio in our pocket, you know. In fact, I have two phones, so I have two of them with me, right? So,
yeah, what would Zapruder think today if he would have had access to this?
That's it. I mean, you know, his little, was it Super 8 or something that he had? You know, one of those, was it Super 8 where you had the film camera? My grandfather had one of those Super 8 cameras. He was very proud of it. He also spent a lot of money on a treated projector screen. Don't touch the screen. We could never touch the screen. It was treated with chemicals or something. I don't know.
It was. My dad had the same one, yes.
There you go, right? So anyhow, but yes, I mean, that's a great comparison because those videos from last night are the high-tech Zapruder films. It's evidence. you know, and certainly, you know, it wasn't a presidential assassination, of course, but this is absolutely horrific what happened last night. It's going to leave a horrendous mark on this community and the people who are there, and no one is going to forget this very easily. And how could they when there's all this video?
Have you been given any indication, or have you noted any indication from Waukesha police officials about when they will be coming forth with additional evidence, perhaps confirming Daryl Brooks' identity?
I'm told to expect an announcement early this afternoon. It may be at the next, you know, 45 minutes or so from now. But you know, we'll see how that goes. Sometimes these things shift in their time, depending on whatever. So, but I suspect that we will hear today more about this. I suspect that charges will be, if this is in fact the guy, I suspect charges will be filed today.
Very good. And we know that you will be on top of it. Evan Brown with Fox News Radio, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
You got it.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that Evan mentioned, Trish, was the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. The prosecutor, I believe his name is John Grisham. And John Chisholm. And he was a George Soros backed prosecuting attorney, just like our own prosecuting attorney, circuit attorney Kim Gardner.
Yes.
And it was really a brilliant strategy. Even if you disagree with something, you can recognize the brilliance strategically. But Soros decided years ago that instead of throwing money into a presidential campaign, which he still does, but a few dollars can't impact a presidential campaign. But a few thousand dollars in a district attorney's race can absolutely turn the tide to implement the kind of socialist agenda that George Soros wants to implement. He did that right here with Kim Gardner, and he also did it in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a very scary thing that we're seeing play out nationwide.
It is. And so he's been able to leverage not an enormous amount of money, but to have an enormous amount of impact for the worse for our country. I read that just 2 days ago, Mr. Hammond, the suspect, we haven't had that confirmed yet, but Mr. Daryl, I said Hammond because I was thinking Daryl Hammond from SNL, Daryl Brooks, rather, the alleged suspect in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Just 2 days ago, he was released on a $1,000 cash bail. And at that point, I was looking at some of the social media posts of the prosecuting attorney in Waukesha, and his entire campaign was we should eliminate all cash bail. And if there is any cash bail, it should be such a low nominal amount that it should not inhibit or prohibit people from getting out. So that's why they put, for Mr. Brooks, only a $1,000 cash bail 2 days prior. If they would have had a $10,000 cash bail, five people in Waukesha, Wisconsin would be alive today.
It is so scary to think about and so tragic to think about. Can you explain to me how the cash bail system works? Because I hear a lot of very progressive, in the progressive movement, you hear eliminating cash bail. What does that mean exactly? So there is no bail, so you can go out and commit a crime and then you go to jail, but there's no bail. You can just leave? How does that work?
Yeah, it's called ROR, released on own recognizance, which basically means you promise, you swear that you'll come back to court after they release you, but then you're out and you can do anything that you like. And there is example after example after example of these situations where individuals are arrested and they are released either on their own recognizance, ROR, or they're released on such a nominal amount of money that you have to post with the court, that it's really not an impediment for them to get out of jail, nor is it that big of a deal if you violate the parole. So, for example, if a guy only has to put $1,000 cash bail and then he doesn't show back up in court on his court date, it's $1,000.
Right.
Whoop-de-doo. You know, you're gonna get that when you steal the Rolexes from Louis Vuitton the next time you're crashing the stores in San Francisco.
It's another
issue. But my point is that St. Louis needs to understand that Waukesha, Wisconsin is the direct result of a George Soros-funded district attorney campaign. And we have the exact same George Soros funded district attorney called a circuit attorney right here in St. Louis in the person of Kim Gardner. And we're seeing the results of that, because had there been a legitimate cash bail with Mr. Brooks, five people would be alive today and 40 injured people would be preparing for Thanksgiving instead of preparing for surgery. And that's the ramifications of George Soros. Ryan Wiggins is just joining us. Hey, Ryan.
Well, I heard you talking about George Soros and just connecting the dots between Kim Gardner and this. And I'm due to come in the next segment anyway. I thought I'm running in here because that stuff just boils my blood, because the people who are accepting money from him, they're corrupt. I mean, that's the way that they're trying to basically destroy the American government system is so disgusting.
It is.
But that guy in particular is evil. These are acceptable losses for him. He doesn't care that a few people died.
Collateral damage is what he would call it. Collateral damage.
Exactly. And it's so gross to have somebody with that much power and influence and no moral compass. I mean, none. That guy does not care about who dies along the way to destroying the United States system of government and order so that he can replace it with something, what? I guess socialism? But socialism in these people's minds is a utopia, and it has never existed.
No.
It will never exist.
Never.
And along the way, they're willing to do basically any evil to get there, and they don't even know where they're going. In the case of George Soros, he probably does know where it's going.
Oh, sure he does.
But most people that he's using, they have no clue what they actually mean by socialism.
No, not at all. And this John Chisholm, it's just very interesting that he was very proud, as I was looking over his social media posts before this incident, how proud he was of saying we should have no cash bail whatsoever. And yet it's they're playing checkers in a world of chess games, because they cannot see what are the ramifications of taking that position. And the ramifications are Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ramifications.
This doesn't
and they can't
even
understand it.
This doesn't even seem like that big of a leap, though. You're talking about an honor system for criminals, basically.
I mean, that's a great point.
You don't have to be brilliant to see that not being a good idea.
Yeah, let me give you a great comparison. We should not have cat hoarder ladies in charge of determining how many pets people should be allowed to own, okay? There's a reason for that. If you're a cat hoarder and you're wearing a muumuu and you've got 47 cats living in your garage, you're not the person in charge of determining how many pets you're supposed to have, because you have a vested interest. And if we put criminals in charge or let criminals go and say, oh, we're going to just trust you to come back, they're criminals. This is not a hard conclusion to reach. And yet time and time again, Ryan, as you pointed out, they don't understand what it is they're actually leading us towards when they implement these kind of insane legal policies.
They just know that I don't like something.
Right.
So I'm going to tear down everything in my wake to get to something else. I don't necessarily know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I'm not liking something right now. And so I'm going to do anything possible to change it. And again, no idea what it's going to become. They do, though. You can tell them, look, this is what this ends up as. Watch the USSR.
Yes.
Watch Venezuela. Watch any country, not even modern. You can talk modern. You can talk historical. No country in history has ever successfully implemented socialism or communism.
Not once.
And yet, they have an ideal in their head that if we can just get there this time in this way, because we're richer or whatever it is, they don't see that along the way, you're losing things. And we're all experiencing it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to people from Cuba and see if they like that system.
Yeah.
And the answer is no. That's why they're desperate to get to the United States. Hey, we're desperate to take a break here. So we'll be back right after this. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry today. Don't go away. We'll be right back on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Nice. Well, this is Ryan Wiggins, and Brad Young's here, and we're all kind of filling in for Annie today. And just a reminder that if you want to tune in and watch the show online, we are on Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. Is that correct?
That sounds right.
I think I got it, because there's we're not on YouTube because of mainly me.
Mostly you. Yeah. So I tried not to throw you under the bus earlier. Somebody's like, why aren't you on YouTube? I'm like, Wiggins. But
no, it's true. Yeah. It's true. Everything I say is inappropriate and gets flagged.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I'll wear it as a badge of honor.
That's it. Well, you know, one time we were on, I was filling in for Annie, and we got flagged on YouTube, and I thought, oh, great, blame it on the fill-in guy.
We did, too. I don't even remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
It's okay, Brad. It was Ryan. It was for sure Ryan.
So now I can blame it on you and not the fill-in
guy. It's always me. Yeah. YouTube, whenever I get on, I don't know if maybe I get flagged. Like, if they see that I'm on, and now they pay closer attention. Because apparently I say things that are just not part of their accepted narrative.
Well, as soon as they hear your voice, flag.
Yeah.
It's it. Oh, that's Ryan, flag.
Yep.
Just flag it right there.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
But you can wear it as a badge of honor.
And I do.
You know, one of the things, I don't know if you heard when I interviewed Eben Brown from Fox News Radio, and we were talking about the Waukesha massacre, really. And I made the comparison that today is the anniversary of the John F. Kennedy assassination. And I've always been fascinated by the Zapruder film and how it is the most analyzed video in history, the Zapruder film.
I heard you say that.
And then when you compare that to the video, whether what we had from Kyle Rittenhouse or the video that we have now from Waukesha, the differences are astounding. And I was just wondering if what would Abraham Zapruder think today if he would have had an iPhone 13 in his pocket instead of a Super 8 millimeter? It could have been different. We could all know that there were four shooters instead of one or something. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting there were. I'm just suggesting that
Brad. This is the stuff that gets us kicked off.
No, let's talk about the deep state.
Wait, we've got a robust Facebook chat going on right now. They took down Kennedy. They took down Nixon.
They took down Trump.
Folks, that would be Ryan Wiggins speaking right now. Not Brad Young, but Ryan Wiggins.
And he's actually up commenting on the Facebook chat.
Annie is in a cold sweat right now.
But you can imagine the differences, though. If we had the video then, but also, I still submit that were it not for the drone video and the other video in Kyle Rittenhouse, we would have a conviction today instead of an acquittal last week, because the assumption going into this was he was guilty. We had President Biden, who was running for office, labeled this young man a white supremacist when we just heard him interviewed by Tucker Carlson yesterday stating that he supported Black Lives Matter. And yet he was labeled a white supremacist.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think I've said on this show or my show or both before that we live in a media-run state. It's not even a state-run media that we have. It's that the government responds to whatever the media does. The media decides the narrative, and then the government responds. Actually, I'm going to kind of talk about that in my Wiggins America segment a little bit inadvertently. That I didn't know we were going there. But here, let me challenge you on something else before we get too deep.
Okay.
Do you think – I've come up with one video that may be more analyzed than the JFK video.
Oh, what video is that?
It's the Bigfoot video. Same era.
The
Patterson-Gimlin video.
The Patterson film, which was perfectly imitated by Will Ferrell in Elf. I don't know if you know that.
No.
But when he's walking, and they said, in the first, because I've seen Elf like 500 times, okay?
Yeah.
And when they talk about, there's been a sighting in New York's park, in Central Park, and he's swinging his arms.
That's right.
He is mimicking the Patterson Bigfoot video. Mm-hmm. Now, see, I thought you were going to say the most analyzed video in history was Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction.
No. I personally have never seen that video. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Is it out there? Can you see it? Can I go watch it right now is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Did you watch it? You weren't watching it live?
Well,
when it
the Super Bowl was on.
I was watching it live when it happened, and I remember saying, what did we just see?
I do, too. I was young at the time, too.
No, I remember
being like, what?
If you're going to go there, the most analyzed video, 10 seconds of video ever, is in the movie Basic Instinct.
Well, that's true. But I still think the Zapruder film has been analyzed more than even Basic Instinct.
You know what? I've never seen either one of those. But you know what's funny? Really, really ridiculous story. That if you were 10 years old when Basic Instinct came out, everybody talked about it. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe this movie exists? And there's no way that my parents would have let me watch that.
Correct.
But I've heard from other kids who were able to somehow get a copy of that, that if you rented it from Blockbuster, that 10 seconds of video
was gone?
So rewinded
oh.
that you almost couldn't see the video.
It was blurry. Yes. It was blurry from overuse.
Apparently.
Oh, that is funny. But yeah, if you look at Kyle Rittenhouse, you're right. There has been media malpractice about the Kyle Rittenhouse situation. For example, I had a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. We went to law school together. He's as liberal as I am conservative.
Okay.
We go to lunch together once a month, and all we do is argue for 2 hours over chicken wings. And then we go out, and we're hitting each other on the back. We're best friends. I went to his wedding. I play poker at his house. But we just argue for an
running
hour.
Running along the street, throwing a football back and forth. Hey, buddy. Hey, you're my buddy. Let's go run.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, if you saw him, he doesn't run. But but my point is that he texts me right after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, and he says, I can't believe you support this verdict. Now it's open season for all African Americans in this country.
What?
And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, Rittenhouse shot and killed 3 African Americans.
Oh my gosh.
And this is a guy that watches the news. And I wrote him back and I said, what are you talking about? First of all, he only killed 2. He didn't kill 3. And secondly, all 3 of the people shot were white. But that was missed on him because all he did was watch MSNBC. And where it was held as a racial justice trial, whenever the person on trial was white and the 3 victims were all white.
Unbelievable.
And yet it's being heralded as a social justice because I know this is going to be a shock to our friends on the left, but everything is not racial. And yet what we're seeing in the media is casting every event as racially motivated.
Yep.
Today, the Waukesha incident, at least from what we know, there's no racial motive. But were the events to be switched, if it were a black parade with a white person driving the car, it would be heralded as a racial event when it's really not. But if you flip it, it would be a racial event.
Well, I mean, with Waukesha, we don't know. We have no idea.
Oh, I know. But we have no evidence to think at this point that it's racially motivated. The only evidence that we have is he was probably fleeing the police. But my suggestion is that the media narrative would be instantly going to racial were the racial things switched, where the driver was white and the victims were black. It would be characterized by the media as racial.
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt that would happen. They tried to make Kyle Rittenhouse into a racial case.
That's
there was no racial anything into it.
No.
So the headlines, if you notice, the ones that are quote unquote getting it right, because some of them are just outright wrong. Some of them have said Kyle Rittenhouse shot 2 black men. No, that's like patently false. But
verifiably false.
But the ones who are trying to spin it and still put that racial tone to it are saying Kyle Rittenhouse basically walks on shooting 2 Black Lives Matter protesters. So they're trying to still inject race into it.
Even when race isn't a component.
It wasn't a component. And it's incredible to me, and Brad, I don't know what you think about this, but what we're seeing with things like that, and I'm not saying your friend's going to be convinced he's going to become a Republican or something.
Oh, never.
But there are a lot of people who are maybe not dyed-in-the-wool leftists. They lean left. Maybe they just culturally lean left because culture leans left and it's easier to lean left. They're in the COVID era, I think, more than anything else. They're waking up to the fact that there's a narrative and it's being pushed. And a lot of times it's not correct and it definitely doesn't have your best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in that camp who I think in the last couple of years in particular, they may have known, oh, the media thing. But they're seeing it firsthand when you have, you could point to a lot of things, but the one I always point to is natural immunity should be the end of discussion about vaccine passports.
Sure.
Because medically speaking, that is just as good, if not better,
the gold
than
standard.
Having it.
It's the gold standard.
You're exactly right. And there's a lot of people who have no political agenda who know that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seeing that, and they're seeing what's being pushed by the federal government along with agencies and the media. And going, wait a minute now, there's something missing here. You guys aren't giving the full truth, and you're using it to an ends. And I think the same thing has happened with Rittenhouse, that a lot of people who've seen this, who just accept the facts, are no longer just accepting the facts.
They aren't. But, you know, my liberal friend, I will tell you this before we go to the break, that he called me up one day several years ago, and he says, Brad, I want to tell you, I've quit my job, I've gotten a new job, and I'm remarrying my first wife. And that's exactly the way he put it to me. And I said to him, wow, are you going to become a conservative Christian as well? And he said, Bradley, things aren't that bad yet. So my point is that I don't think he's going
are
to
they
be
now?
He's not going to be converting to either conservatism or Christianity anytime soon. But we are going to be going to a break very soon, like right here. Brad Young sitting in for Annie Fry today. Glad you're with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back. For service and devotion.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
Is that Taylor Swift I heard?
I think so. I don't know. Ryan did the music
I wouldn't
today.
Know either. Well, that my sounds daughter would like know. Taylor Swift.
My 18-year-old daughter would know.
That's who should know.
That's
not people like me and you.
Exactly. If I know, that would
strange.
Be weird.
Me too. I know. Now, look, I don't dislike Taylor Swift.
No, not at all.
I just don't know her well enough to have her poster on my wall, for instance.
Right, and my math skills are too challenged. My math skills are too challenged to be able to keep track of all the people she's broken up with.
Ouch!
I can't count that high.
Dang, Brad.
So, but
burn.
But one thing I do know is that I always look forward to Ryan Wiggins' America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! You do know that? That's great.
I do.
That's great. I'm so glad. Have you been paying attention to Beto O'Rourke, Mr. Brad Young?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Grab Your Guns? Sure.
Yeah, and he's not backing off of that. Which, this guy is a sacrificial lamb. He's not going to be anywhere near the governor's mansion of Texas.
No, but I did like it whenever I heard that he announced that he's going to once again lose in his race for the Texas governorship. He announced
right.
it that way. He said, I'm announcing my intent to lose the governorship race for the state of Texas.
Wait, did he do that jokingly?
No, he died.
I mean, he didn't
up.
Actually do that.
I just made that up.
Okay.
Obviously, it wasn't funny.
No. Well, I mean, I could see him actually getting up and making a joke like that.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't have a sense of humor.
But you're right. He doesn't really have much of a sense
of humor.
His sense of humor
is shot.
Here is.
That was a joke. Too,
I got that
way.
One.
Okay.
I got that one. I was just going to steamroll it.
All right.
Here's why I bring him up. You know how our immigration system is a total wreck right now?
Sure is.
Well, I mean, not the system. But we have laws on the books that would work.
If they were enforced.
If they were enforced.
Sure.
But Beto O'Rourke, of all people, the Democratic former U.S. congressman, according to Reuters, who's running for governor of Texas on Sunday, criticized President Joe Biden for a lack of urgency on pursuing a revamp of immigration laws. Can you believe
really?
That? He is running for governor of Texas, and one of the platforms he's running on is that Joe Biden is messing up the immigration system.
Wow.
That's how bad it's gotten in Texas.
Well, and not only how bad it's gotten in Texas, but he's running from Joe Biden. Joe Biden's numbers are so bad.
You're right.
That Beto O'Rourke has to distance himself from him to avoid that what we saw in Virginia
yeah.
with Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, he was asked point blank about that very thing. He said, asked whether he would welcome Biden to Texas to help him campaign, O'Rourke suggested he would not.
Yeah.
Saying, quote, this campaign in Texas is not going to be about Joe Biden. It's not going to be about Donald Trump. It's not going to be about anyone from outside our state.
It's not going to be about Beto O'Rourke either.
No, it's not. It's not. Greg Abbott's going to be realized very, very easily. But the reason that I bring this up is not because, A, that that's noteworthy, but B, that kind of thing right there is what it's going to take for Joe Biden or for the administration to maybe actually do something, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because that's, if you get shots from your own side, Republicans can, we can say it all day and we can point it out, but it's not until you have the AOCs or even the moderate Democrats of the world criticizing what Democrats have been doing at the border for the last 10 months now, that things will actually start to happen. My hope is that this kind of criticism coming from somebody who's got to paint himself as a moderate, he's not.
Sure.
But he's going to paint himself as a moderate on issues like this because he knows he'd lose otherwise, is a warning to Democrats that they need to change something before the midterms.
Well, I don't know if you heard this, but Matthew McConaughey was reached to get his comment on that statement from Beto O'Rourke. And Matthew McConaughey allegedly said, "All right, all right, all right," because he's gonna be running against Beto O'Rourke. I know that was a terrible impression.
I don't know. I can't tell what's a joke with this guy.
I just made that up. Okay.
Amazing.
Well, he did say some things recently, though.
He's
so like,
all right. No, I just made that up. But he's gonna run as a Democrat. And if Matthew McConaughey runs, he wants Beto O'Rourke saying stupid things. He wants Beto O'Rourke out there saying, "I'm going to confiscate your guns." He wants him to do that because if McConaughey runs, he could easily, for the primary, for the Democrat primary, he's going to eclipse Beto O'Rourke.
Run to the center of Beto, you mean?
Exactly.
Do you think he's really going to run, Matthew McConaughey?
Well, he is hinting that he will. Now, he could just be flirting with the idea in order to get the attention.
Yeah.
But he's not confirmed one way or the other.
Yeah, he said some things recently that I'm going to look up just to be sure. But I think he was doing the same kind of thing, criticizing Biden,
mm-hmm.
which in Texas, you're going to have to do.
Oh, you have to.
The state, as I pointed out in a different Wiggins America, that the state of Texas is not getting bluer. It's getting redder, actually. The bluest it got was 2018 when Beto O'Rourke was about 3 percentage points off of beating Ted Cruz for Senate.
Correct.
And that's probably their high watermark because it's going the other direction because everybody who's moving out of California, who's moving to Texas, they're mostly Republicans.
Correct. And I think all 17 Biden supporters live in Austin, I think, in the state of Texas.
Not even downtown Austin.
No, no,
they're,
no.
They're too progressive. they like the squad. They don't like
exactly.
Biden.
Exactly. They don't like
yeah,
Biden.
Maybe like the South City area of St. Louis, to whatever that would be of Austin.
In Austin. Yeah. He's not super popular there.
but this is my hope, is that it's unfortunate because we've talked before about how the immigration catastrophe that's still going on is so much worse now than it was last year at this time. And it could be fixed like that by just people like AOC or other party leaders or Hollywood or whoever criticizing it and saying, "Look, we voted for you to fix the immigration system. We yelled kids in cages for 4 years. And then you did nothing but make it worse." Those people have vanished. Where did all those people who were yelling kids in cages for 4 years go? That is one of the most disingenuous political things I've ever seen in my life. Because usually, I could at least, even if you were off the mark, even if you were way far left and you were mm-hmm. bleeding heart and you were off the mark, and I thought, you know what, generally I disagree with you, but there are certain things that I respect about you that you seem to care about people. This issue has highlighted that that's actually not true. These people were, at least the leadership, was pretending to care about people for political posturing.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they would still be saying something right now, and they're not.
Which is exactly the same reason why President Biden, even though he didn't know it at first, but his administration is still contemplating paying, I believe, $450,000 to immigrants who were separated by their families. And when he was first asked about it, he said, "Oh, no, that's absurd. That's ridiculous." And then it wasn't a couple of days later that he had to misremember. He had one of those misremembering, apparently. Didn't know that his administration was actually supporting that position.
Yeah. Okay. Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're fact-checking now.
No, okay. I'm not. You said something, and I thought something went off in my head that I was like, he just recently said something that was a little bit quote-unquote controversial for a Democrat, if he's running as a Democrat. What he said was that he opposes vaccine mandates in children.
Yes, he did say that. Yeah, because he said he was asked specifically about whether his kids would be vaccinated, and he kind of said, "I don't think my kids are going to get vaccinated."
Yeah, that's controversial, apparently. Yeah,
apparently it is.
That's unbelievable. And the news story that I found here is NBC News. Surgeon General to Matthew McConaughey, quote, "COVID is not harmless in kids." As if that's what he was saying.
Right.
Like that's not at all. Being opposed to mandates, especially for children, is not the same as being opposed to the vaccine. Those are two different issues. We could talk about them separately, but people try to make them one issue.
They are not.
And they are not at all.
I got my booster shot at the end of September, so I've been vaxxed 3 times now for COVID, and yet you will not find a more ardent opponent to the vaccine mandate than Brad Young. You won't. And I can lay out the legal case for why it's unconstitutional, and we have on this show before. But my point is that you can be pro-vaccine and anti-mandate. Those positions are not contradictory.
You know what's interesting is watching Trump, because he's done a couple interviews recently. I think he did one with the Levin over the weekend.
He did.
Where he touted the success of the vaccine. And it's so interesting watching the right, which would be me and us or whoever, try to make sense of that. Because if Trump had won, can you imagine what the narrative would have been? It would have been so different than what it is right now. All of the VAERS data, all of the not the vaccine not stopping transmission, all of that stuff would be the headline.
Yes.
Because it would be trashing Trump. And Trump would be doing exactly what he's actually still doing, which is why it's so weird, is touting that the vaccine is a success.
Well, don't forget, who was one of the first public figures to come out and question the safety of the vaccine was Kamala Harris.
That's right.
She was one of the first to come out publicly. Trish, you've heard that.
Oh, yeah. When she said if Trump is the one that tells her to get the vaccine, she's not doing it. Could you imagine a Trump presidency where these mandates were coming down, where, like, from Trump's government structure, like, Trump's in charge, and they're like, oh, we're going to mandate through OSHA. Bizarre the world would be as far as the pushback on that goes.
Well, calling him a dictator would be just in that situation.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have done it.
But he wouldn't have done
that. There's no way he would have done that stuff.
No, we wouldn't be in the same situation, but just how different it would be if he was the one making those calls.
Yeah.
Oh, you're 100% correct.
Crazy.
And I'm telling you now, I think I even predicted on this show one day that the vax mandate would be held unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. The Fifth Circuit District Court held it unconstitutional. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals held it unconstitutional. Now it's going to be going to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where I can promise you it will be held unconstitutional. And then when it goes to the Supreme Court, I'm even going to go out and say it's going to be a 6-3 decision at the Supreme Court holding that this vax mandate is unconstitutional. And the reason why I can come up with the number is because that's the same number that voted the eviction moratorium as unconstitutional, because six members of the court understand that a government agency only has the power that is delegated to it by congressional action. There was no congressional action delegating this authority to OSHA, and it will be stricken 6-3 at the Supreme Court.
Real quick, is this an opportunity for the Supreme Court or any court to limit the power of government agencies that are unelected?
I think they're going to trim that decision to make it only applicable to this case, because that's what the Supreme Court likes to do. That's not what I would do.
I know.
But no one's going to be putting me on the Supreme Court anytime soon. But I am honored to be, though, here on the Annie Fry Show, filling in for Annie today. Don't go away. We'll be right back on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm the only one of me.
Let me keep you company. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.